Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Pastor John was troubled as the Holy Spirit spoke to him about judgment. There is a lot of disinformation on the internet about the coronavirus, and the Holy Spirit stressed that he was to present the message clearly as to why the world is experiencing this crisis. The Israelites were God's chosen people, and he promised to bless them if they obeyed his commandments. Rebellion would cost them the promised land and bring trouble for years to come. Sadly, the chosen people failed to address their sin issues, and the Lord judged them severely. If God judged the Israelites in such a manner, will he overlook mankind's sins today? This judgment is worldwide as people are dying and the world's economy is in shambles. Will humanity repent and seek the Lord? This message is entitled, Judgment from God. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I had worked last week on a sermon outline. We had it worked out and printed and everything else. And Saturday, something happened to me. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me about the judgment from God. And I was doing other things. I was out for about 2-3 hours cutting grass. We got some acreage here. But the message kept coming back. And I saw flashing of scriptures here, flashing of scriptures there, and thoughts were coming in. And I said, well, I got the message ready. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to change. Well, I settled down last night about probably about 6:30 and sitting at my computer and had the scriptures written out and I started to write the message that you are seeing right now. After about half an hour, I got a phone call, and this brought in Christ, who's a member of the church here, needed some talking. So I know this, the Holy Spirit, when he works with you, all you do is just to flow. So I spent about maybe close to an hour with him, and then I went back again and finishing up. And so I was done about 9:30 last night. I'll give you the background, because I want you to understand the message I'm going to bring to you today. I sent a copy to Carol last night, and she worked on it to see if how the grammar so on. And then I felt led today to call Charles, and about 8 o'clock this morning, and I said, I'm changed my message. He said, send it to me. So I did send it to him. And so if you go on your website, on our website today, you will find the outline there where you can download that and print that and follow it. And so I'm really thankful for the team that I have here. They can change quickly and we can be at speed with the Holy Spirit. So let me start off here and I'll share with you how troubled I was Saturday. Now, disinformation is sweeping the world, and the internet is red hot with one story after another. We've been told, and this is a compilation on a number of people that write me, they send this link, that link, this link, that link. I mean, I get linked out all over the week. And if I was going to look at everything that got sent in to me, I'd do nothing but sit on my computer and look at all the stuff coming in. Now, American people are being told that in just a short time, and this is amazing, the world government is going to start mass arrest. And we're going to be put in FEMA camps. Cities, people that have not been put in camps yet, are going to be gassed. And they talk about drones flying over with gas. And so they're going to gas people. And in the FEMA camps, they have thousands of guillotines. They have, actually, I heard this back in the 1980s. So I guess they got a good stockpile, just like they had a good stockpile of ventilators. And so it is cheaper, a guillotine is cheaper to kill somebody than a bullet, because you can reuse the guillotine over and over again. You don't have to reload it. Just get the knife up, drop it, get it up, drop it, that's cheap. And the horror stories just get worse and worse. Others are telling me this. There is no COVID-19. It's a hoax. I was told this, that people have gone to hospitals to check things out. And they find out that there are very few people in the hospital. They can't find coronavirus people infected in the hospitals. And there's no panic in the ERs. So I'm told that there are no sick people. It's all a hoax. Everybody's in on the hoax. Now, Satan is a liar. His demons have done a great job spreading disinformation. And their goal is to get everyone so disgusted that they won't believe anything, including the Bible. I have told you before that the CIA, the Russian FSB, Israel Mossad, and the MI5 and 6 in England, the Chinese, everybody got intelligence services. Every one of these have thousands of people that are working every day to spread disinformation on the internet. And it is just one story after the other. I listened to one recording, and it was a man I was interviewing. He had a very nice voice, very soft, and he sounded like, you know, one of these very good, solid professors that actually knew his stuff. And then there was a woman, and the woman had worked for the federal government, and they're prepared for pandemics, FEMA camps, and a number of other things. And she was exposing what was coming. And as I listened to it, I said, man, this is a setup. This is a very clever setup. The woman sounds a little bit out there in the tulips, but not too bad. But the man is really together. Very convincing and scary stories. There's no doubt that there is an infection called the coronavirus. I have listened to a number of different doctors that have on different shows and newscasts, and they all say the same thing. This particular strand of coronavirus is very, very difficult to deal with. It's very aggressive. This last week, they were talking about now what I wrote about a month or 2 months ago, the biological laboratory in Wuhan, China. And they're very careful to say that it is not the biological weapon. Yes, it is. So we're facing something now. It has changed our lives. I want you to know that the economy, not only in the United States, but worldwide is in shambles. The United States now has a 13.5% jobless rate. Businesses are going out. People are hungry. We are in a very difficult situation. So, God spoke to me and simply said, this situation is a judgment from me. And I'm going to draw a lot of flack, but that's all right. I'm going to speak what I was told to speak. Let the chips fall where they fall. Last week in the Bible Belt, we had, I don't know how many, but 40 to 60 tornadoes, number of people killed, lots of homes destroyed. Would you believe Friday and Saturday, again, in the same areas, more tornadoes, more destruction, more people killed. Now, every time I bring it up, we have disinformation. People tell me this, oh, this is man-made, you know, we got this harp stuff up in Alaska, and they are manipulating the weather. This is done by the world government. And they dismiss it. The reason that the Bible Belt is hit so hard just about every week for 2 years is it used to be the strong part of the United States of Christianity. 65%, about 30 years ago, went to church in the Bible Belt. Today, they're down to about 35%. The new generation in the South are just as wicked as people in other parts in the United States. And God is simply saying this, I am not pleased, but very few people would come out, particularly pastors, and talk about judgment. Let me pray now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and I want to praise you right now that you will give me an anointing here today, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that whatever demonic forces try to attack me, that, Father God, these demons shall be scattered and taken to prison, just smashed to pieces, Lord. And I thank you right now for anointing me and anoint the people listening. Give them an ear to understand. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God spoke to me about scriptures. That's what I got first. And I'm going to turn to Isaiah chapter 45. And we're going to look from verse number 18. For thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek you me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge. They set up the wood or the graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared from the ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be you saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. And then from chapter 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. The Lord simply impressed upon me that he wants you to know he is supreme. Nothing happens on this earth that he has not knowledge of, that he has allowed. He allows evil to happen. He doesn't do the evil. He allows it to happen. In Hebrews 13:8, and I'm just going to quote it here, Jesus Christ, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to know what Jesus is going to do tomorrow, look what he's doing today. He's doing today what he did yesterday. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the same. They change not. They have a plan. They follow the plan. God will bless his people when they walk with him, but will judge them when they stray from him. This is something that you got to understand. God is love, but God is also a God of judgment. He will judge when people will disobey him. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to pick it up here in verse 1. I'm going to skip around a little bit here. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you at this day, that the Lord God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken, that means listen to, diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. When we find a job or we get hired to work for some company, if it's a hospital, store, whatever it is, when you apply for that job, you don't come in and say, okay, I would like to get a paycheck, so I'm willing to do some work. Now, the work is going to be done on my conditions. I don't like to show up early in the morning because I'm tired. So I will show up maybe 9-ish if I feel good. I do want to have a 15-minute break after that when I get to work. And I do cherish my lunch hour. Don't disturb me. And I got to have an afternoon break. And I like to go home earlier to beat the traffic. Now, how much is my paycheck? The person that's interviewing you is going to simply say, you know, I think that you'd be better off to turn around and find yourself another job. You're not working here. When you get a job, you're given a job description. You're told to show up if it is 7 o'clock in a factory, 8 o'clock in an office, and you work from 8 to 5 or you work from 7 to 4:30, whatever the times are. You might get a break. But the people that employed you expect you to follow instructions, to shut your mouth, to do what you're told. They don't want your opinion. They don't want you to tell them what you think should be done. You are hired to do a job. Now, most people understand that. So when you go to work, you simply do what you are told. Now, here is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They own the universe. They created us. And we are allowed to live on earth for a little while. And God is simply saying this. Here's how I want you to live. Listen to me diligently. And you know what most people do? They give God the middle finger and say, yeah, hey, old man up there, take a hike. You don't exist. I'm living my life the way I want to live my life. God will take it so far, but eventually the hammer will come down. So God said this, now if you want to work for me and you want to walk with me, here's what I will do. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on you, overtake you, if you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Now, I like that. I like to have that. But there's a condition. I got to walk with the Lord. If we look at the same chapter now, and we go down here to verse number 13. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only. You shall not be beneath. If that you hearken unto the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, to observe and to do them. God said, I will make you the head. I'll take care of you. Let me try to give you a short illustration. I did that some time back, but I'm going to hammer it home again. 8 months ago, I had to commit my wife to a care home. She has dementia, Alzheimer's, and I just couldn't have her home anymore. It was a lot of money it would cost me, and I did not have it. I was short. So I said, God, I don't know why you can't heal my wife, but I said, this is where I'm at right now. So somebody came up. Matter of fact, what I did was I went and borrowed money. I borrowed $5,000 to pay for the first month. Somebody talked to me a little bit later and said, how did you swing that? Well, I had to borrow that. And so that money was replaced and simply said, no, I'll pay it back that loan. But still now, I was going to be short month after month. I got an email from a person. And the person said this, that I never know, never met. God has been speaking to me that I am to personally finance your life. And I thought, well, that sounds too good to be true. And the person said, now, what is the greatest need you have? I said, well, the greatest need I have right now is to pay for my wife. And the man said, it's done. Well, I had a lot of people promise me things. But you know what? The checks have been coming in month after month, and I have not asked for it. I just say thank you. God said, I will take care of you. He does. Now, what will happen to you if you stray? In verse number 14, and you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in a city, cursed shall you be in a field, cursed shall be your basket in your store, cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand unto for to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto you, until he have consumed you from off the land, would you go to possess it. The Lord shall smite you with a consumption, and with a fever, with inflammation, with extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. I'm reading out of the Bible, King James Bible. I didn't write this. God said, this is what I will do when my people do not obey me. Notice now, he was not speaking to unbelievers. He was speaking to Israel, his own people, that he loved. Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to pick it up in verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be you idolaters, as for some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Catch verse 11 now. Now all these things happen unto them, Israel, for examples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. The things that befell the Israelites was written down to show you and me what will happen if we are disobedient. In most churches today, they do reruns on the television and websites. They're talking about praying against the coronavirus. They talk about faith. They talk about no fear. But God simply spoke very specifically to me yesterday. America is under judgment. The world is under judgment. It needs to be proclaimed. God is love. But God now has come to the place where the sin had become so great among his people and the people outside the church that judgment has come. This is just the beginning of it. David Wilkerson in the 1970s spoke about judgment. Some of it happened, but some were for future. The future is here. The judgment is now. The question of, what are we going to do about it? Let me read to you from the outline. The American people sacrificed their children in the abortion mills. I just got some numbers. In 2011, 1.1 million children, babies, were murdered by doctors and nurses in this country. 1.1 million. In 2016, the numbers had gone down. In 2016, America only murdered 623,471 babies. If we take that by day, every day in 2016, and the numbers are just about the same today, every day, 1,708 babies are murdered in hospitals, abortion mills, by doctors and nurses that kill these babies. God is fed up. The cry of the unborn has reached his ears. They have no advocate. Babies do not vote. I gotta hand this to the Republican Party and to President Trump. Particularly in the South, Louisiana is one of the better states. They have restricted, they cannot outlaw it, but they're restricting it. And clinic after clinic has to close because they're raising the standard. You got to have a doctor. He got to be registered with a hospital. And so the abortion goes down. But still, it is high. This is how the Holy Spirit gave to me. When you hear on television, 5,000 people died in New York overnight, 500 or whatever numbers are, it doesn't move God. It doesn't move him. Because he's saying this. What about the millions of children that you killed? Who cries over them? From 2011 to this year, about 9 million American children have been murdered by doctors and nurses in our hospitals and clinics. Then you have the worship of Bacchus in the bars and restaurants. I see more and more young people, women, men, in their 20s and up, sitting at the bars drinking. And when you get drunk or you get intoxicated, the next step is fornication, drugs, whatever it is. People fornicate in the whorehouses. People fornicate in their homes with pornography being spewed out on television. It's very common. We have women coming for deliverance. And they tell me this. My husband or my living boyfriend, they want me to watch pornographic movies. And then afterwards, they want me to do what they saw on the screen. People live together without being married. They're chilling out of wedlock. And there is a huge generation of bastards in the United States, in the world, that were born out of wedlock. We are no different than Israel as old. Matter of fact, we are sinning more today because of our technology and the gadgets that we have. I try not to be too graphic. We got children watching us. But you know, there's a whole industry out there producing different gadgets to be used by men and women in their sexual deviation. They now have dolls that they made life-size dolls. And there's somebody selling them. You can buy one for $15,000, $20,000 and do whatever you want to do with them. Very sophisticated. God is looking down. And God is simply saying this. I had enough. I punished Israel. I punished Egypt. I wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. I punished the Babylonians. Now, I'm going to punish the Americans, the British, the French, the Swedes, the Japanese, the nation of the world. God is fed up. Turn to Acts 10:34 quickly. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceived that God is no respecter of persons." God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to slam the Israelites and have favor on Americans. No. Judgment is here now. In my outline, I wrote this. God used the Midianites, the Philistines, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians to chastise Israel. Let's be honest. That's what the scripture says. God raised up these ungodly nations. And they came in and they brought devastation upon Israel. And they cried out. And God said, "I'm judging you. You didn't repent. Now you pay." God has used the ungodly communist government of China to chastise themselves and the rest of the world when they released the coronavirus, a biological weapon. Now, I'm going to say something here today that might not be politically correct. This was brought out. They have investigations by the Senate investigating where did the coronavirus came from. And here was a conclusion they came to. It came from a biological laboratory in Wuhan, China, a city of 11 million people. When the Chinese government, which is the communist government, dictatorship, found out that they had a pandemic on their hands, they realized we have a biological weapon, it's loose among our people, and they simply shut down the entire Wuhan province. They just sealed it up. They stopped all flights coming out of Wuhan to go to any other parts in China. But for the next 2 months, they allowed flights to go out of Wuhan to England, France, America, number of countries. And guess what? Suddenly, we had the coronavirus in these different countries. The communist government simply said this. We have planned to use this weapon later, but we had an accident or whatever happened. We got to make hay now when we can. So we will protect our homeland, and then we will export this stuff. We will send out that biological weapon, and we will take down the world and its economy. It's a war. Look on Italy. Look on France. Look on Iran, Israel, us, a number of other nations. God allowed that because he simply said judgment is coming. I want to share a few verses with you here. I'm going to start in Jeremiah chapter 21. I want to show you what the Bible says about these different things. And verses 4 through 6. "This is the Lord God of Israel. Behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands. Where would you fight against the king of Babylon? And against the Chaldeans. We beseech you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of the city. Notice verse 5 now. God speaking. And I, God, myself, will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in a great wrath. You don't hear Joel Osteen preach on that. But when God is mad, he gets mad. We got to understand that. You can only sin so long. And then God said, I had it up to here. You're going to pay. There is judgment. Look in verse 6. And I will smite the inhabitants of the city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. There you have it. A virus, bacteria, infections. You have cholera. You have typhus, a number of diseases. When you have a city locked up, diseases come. And God simply said this, I'm not going to help you. I am going to destroy you from within. Now turn to Jeremiah 14:10. Thus says the Lord unto his people, you that are still watching, didn't turn me off. Thus is the Lord unto this people. Thus they have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will not remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for they're good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by famine, and by pestilence. God spoke. I'm going to use that. The sword, pestilence, famine. We saw it last week. People in different parts of the country that are we're depending upon a paycheck every week. They don't have food. They go to the food banks. Suddenly, there's famine in the land. Is God moved? No. God is saying this, I am looking for repentance. I am not focusing on easing your pain. This is judgment. Let me tell you a story that I heard some time ago. And this story is a true story, so I heard it. There was a young man, this goes back probably to the late 1800s. And this young man was riding, he was on a wagon riding with his parents. And the horses, for some reason, got spooked, and they started to run it like crazy. And this man saw that. He got up with his horse, and he stopped it, and he saved the boy from death. And the boy was very, very thankful. 30 years later, this boy had become a bank robber. He had murdered people. And he was arrested, and he was going to go to his court. And as he sat in the courtroom, the judge walked in. And the boy, he was now a man, said, wow, that's the guy that saved me when I was a little boy. I'm in good shape. I got the judge. He was my friend. And as the judge been seated, he opened up his statement and said, yesterday, I was your savior. Today, I'm your judge. I sentence you to hang by the neck until you're dead. Jesus is our Savior. I'm not talking about that you lose your salvation if you're judged. You lose your life. But we need to pay attention. Let's turn to Jeremiah 42. This is depressing, but we need to understand that something got to break. Something got to break or it's going to get worse. Jeremiah 42, verse number 15. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, your remnant of Judah. Thus is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If you wholly set your face to enter into Egypt and to go sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall fall of close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. Notice not, God said, I will bring upon them. He's our Father. But he's simply saying this. You sin, you go on grace, but there will come a day when I will say, enough is enough. And God showed me yesterday that he is fed up. We have an opportunity as a nation. If we repent, if we begin to pray, that God will stay the plague that is upon us. Notice this. In January, our economy was roaring. We had never had such employment in the history for 40 to 50 years ago, more than that. Today, our economy is dead. Is God weeping over it? No. He says, I couldn't care less about your economy. I don't care about that you don't have any food. I don't care about this. I care about one thing, repent and turn to me. And then we go to Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely, because you have defied my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore will I also diminish you, neither shall my eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. Folks, look at these verses now. This is Father God speaking. He says, neither shall my eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. A third part of you shall die with pestilence. That's a virus, some kind of disease, infection. And with famine shall it be consumed in the midst of you. And the third part shall fall by the sword run about you. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds. And I will draw out the sword after them. Thus shall my anger be accomplished. I will cause my fury to rest upon them. And I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. We should tremble before our God. We should not be defiant. We should not say, oh, God understands. That's a bad joke. God does not understand. He said, it's either you're walking with him or you're not walking with him. Then in Ezekiel chapter 7, we pick it up here from verse number 17. All hands shall be feeble and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth. Horror shall cover them. Shame shall be upon all their faces, and boldness upon all their heads. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity. You heard it on Christian television. Jim Baker is one of them. Number of others, Steve Quayle, and a number of people have saying this, prepare. Buy gold from me. Buy survival food. And they simply said, we are concerned about you. But let's be honest. Poor people cannot prepare. Poor people cannot afford to buy $5,000 of food to store. They are happy if they can buy food for the week. The people have prepared are the rich, the wealthy, the middle class. The poor people have not prepared. They have nothing. God said here, cast your silver in the streets, and the gold shall be removed. God is simply saying this, I had it. Turn out to Ezekiel 14 and verse number 17. Though these three men were in it, who was he talking about? In verse 14, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they shall only be delivered themselves. Verse 19, look at this closing on. Or if I send a pestilence unto the land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to commit man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgment upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. You and I have the privilege of having history books. We have the Bible, which is a history books also. And you and I can read what happened to Israel. God said, Israel is the apple of my eye. I have loved Jacob. But if you look upon the history of Israel, the 10 northern tribes lost their lands. Some 200 years later, Judah and Benjamin lost their lands. They were horribly judged. Most of them perished, went to hell, destroyed. As I started out, what Paul said, this is an example for you and me. Let me go to Amos chapter 4 and verse number 7. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months of the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city, caused it to not rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon. The piece was upon a rain, not withered. So two or three cities wanted the one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned to me, says the Lord. Happened here. We got a drought to the west. Bible Belt drenched. Midwest drenched. Verse 9. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards of your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palm worm devoured them. Yet have you not returned to me, says the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have slain with a sword, have taken away your horses, have made a stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. You have not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, that's what I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Listen to that statement. Prepare to meet your God. I predict, if there is no repentance, they're going to open up the country. They're going to open up for business. And when they do that without repentance, we're going to have a second wave. And that second wave is not going to be a hoax, buddy. It's going to be real. And it's going to be worse the second time. It's going to hit the Christians as well as the unbelievers. And God is simply saying this: I am fed up. My last scripture for this message here is found in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Now, I brought a very negative message. Is there anything positive in it? Yes. Here's what God wants you and I to do. I've been praying on a daily basis for God to pour out his gift of repentance. Now, I have people watching us today or listening to us either today or later this week. And you live in a number of different states. You live in other countries. You have the opportunity where you live. Number one, make sure that you're walking with the Lord in obedience. Secondly, start interceding for your city or your community if you live in the countryside. Thirdly, make appointments with the pastors in your city. And simply say, Pastor, we are under judgment. Do you understand that? You can have an outline like I have. You can say, Pastor, look at all these Bible verses. Look around you, Pastor. Are you willing to stand up in your pulpit and call for your people to repent and change? If I can get you that are watching us, that are walking with the Lord, to do something in your community, we could get 100, maybe 1,000 pastors saying, yes, I see this. A revival break out in our churches. More pastors will catch on. And if we can get the church from coast to coast, from the Canadian border to the Mexican border, to begin to preach repentance, to change, to seek God, prayer and fasting, pleading with God, he will hear us. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God said this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from thy wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. If my people, called by my name, shall humble themselves, and turn from their wicked ways, then God said, you will hear from me. 2 weeks ago, I made a program with Sheila Zielinski. She probably have a listening base of probably up to 100,000 people. And I spoke about the Passover week. I laid out how the Passover week was when Jesus was crucified, the Passover meal, the resurrection, and so on. And as of yesterday, I had 13,000 people that had clicked on it, listened partially, listened completely. I looked in the other videos that you had of recordings. They talk about the coronavirus, about the beast system, about Satan, about all kind of different things. 35,000 hits and up. And I realized this, I've seen it before. You talk about God. We see this on our YouTube videos. I talk about the Lord. And we are flat. I talk about life before the flood. I talk about the devil. I talk about the mark of the beast. And they grew up in the thousands. It's a sad day. I told God this yesterday. Lord, I don't have a large outreach. We got a little chapel in the Sacramento area. We got a webcast. I'm on Omega Man Radio every week, 1 hour. Why do you give me this message? Why don't you give it to Joe Osteen? Or to Jim Baker? Or to Jimmy Swaggart? Where they have the audience. That would have made sense. I didn't get an answer on that. I was just told, this is what I want you to do. I'm in God's economy. I've been a pastor for 48 years, preaching the gospel. I shared with you today. It came from my heart. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Is this going to be a message you said, well, it got hot today. Let's just blow it off. Let's just forget it. Let's find somebody else. What are you going to say? I'm going to drop to my knees right now. I'm going to say, God, count me in. Forgive me for what I've done. God, I'm going to go in my community. I'm going to talk to pastors. I don't know them. I'm just going to get their addresses, call them up and say, I want to have an appointment. I'm going to do my part. Something will happen. Otherwise, I predict maybe 6 months from now, maybe 5 months from now, we're not going to have 5,000 people die a day of the coronavirus. We might have 100,000 people a day die of it. And then it will be of such a magnitude that our nation would never recover. The nations in the world would never recover. And we'd be ripe for the Antichrist to come in and take over. Right now, in your hands, you're holding your destiny and the destiny of this country and the destiny of the world in your hands. You decide. I've done my part. I stayed up last night. I prayed. I wrote it. I spoke it. Now the ball is in your court. And if you don't do anything about it, the blood is on your hands. One final thing. If you watch me, listen to me, and you are not saved, and you said, I want to be saved, I want to be a Christian, here's what you do. Simply say, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, rose on the third day. Jesus, come on in and save me. I want to be saved. And he will. When we finish after our last prayer, the screen will change. You will see three crosses coming up. You will hear the soothing voice of Pastor Charles Terrell come and say, my friend. And he will spend a few minutes with you, show you some scriptures, pray with you, and make sure that you get saved today. If you do it, call us, write us. I'd like to pray with you too and rejoice with you. I done what I could. I gave it all I had. It's up to you what you're going to do. May God have mercy on us. Here's Pastor Charles.
Father God, as we read the scriptures today, they are very, very clear. There's no vagueness. It's not any ambiguity. We know exactly where you stand, exactly what you want from humanity. It's just a matter of choosing to line up with your program or not. Father God, we know that your Holy Spirit is here on this earth, that he is powerful, that he can bring conviction to people. But Father, I also know that people can resist the Holy Spirit. And so, Father God, I just ask that as people hear this message, there will be some that will say, yes, immediately I'm going to do as I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit. And then there will be others that will vacillate, and they will say, maybe later. And then yet there will be also others who will simply scoff at the message and say, yeah, that was off base. Father God, in every generation you have people who respond to you. You know who they are in this generation that we have here. And so, Father, we just ask that whether you have a million people or just a handful, that there would be people that would stand up and say, here I am, Lord, use me. And that is our prayer here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with his shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that he sent his own son to pay a debt he did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian.
You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, Judgment from God. Pastor John was troubled as the Holy Spirit spoke to him about judgment. There is a lot of disinformation on the internet concerning the coronavirus, and the Holy Spirit stressed that he was to clearly present why the world is experiencing this crisis. When God wanted to move the Israelites out of Egypt, He stated that He loved them and that they were the apple of His eye. He promised to bless His chosen people and prosper them on the condition that they obeyed His commandments. Rebellion would cost them the promised land and bring trouble for years to come. God is waiting for people today to seek forgiveness. He is also waiting for pastors to preach against sin, not asking God to remove the coronavirus. People are dying and the world's economy is in shambles, but there is no repentance. The Israelites failed to address their sin issues, and the Lord judged them severely. If God judged His chosen people in such a manner, will He overlook mankind's sins today? Where do you stand in this matter? This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1752. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.